Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
This is what Paul had to write in the book of Romans, right at the very outset of this great letter. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son. That is such a powerful statement and a key statement to help us understand what this Bible, what this good news is all about. It is God's message concerning Jesus. The good news that changes us from the inside out, the good news that transforms us into the very likeness of Christ, is the good news about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And he goes on to say about Jesus, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So everything that God wants us to know is contained in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yesterday we had lively discussion about Mary, and oftentimes we have different comments about Mary and her role and those sort of things, and certainly the Catholic Church holds her in very high esteem, even calling her co-redemptrix and that sort of thing. They've given her a position that the Word of God really doesn't give her. But it's interesting. It's interesting discussion. But I think it helps us really get into the Word of God and to see what this gospel message is all about. And that's why I wanted to read this passage out of Romans 1, because it really gets to the heart of the matter. This gospel is about Jesus from start to finish. Yes. He's the one that died to take away our sins. He was the one that was raised back to life so that we could have eternal life. Mary served a role in that unfolding story. She said, you know, as it be to it unto me as you have said. I mean, she cooperated with God's plan, and that's a wonderful thing, and she was blessed above all women. I mean, can you imagine having the Lord Jesus in your womb and delivering him into this world? That was a privilege that no one else got to experience. But she still needed salvation. She still needed Jesus to be her Savior. And he came into this world because of the Holy Spirit. That's how it all happened. She participated. She cooperated. But that's the end of what the Word of God really has to say. The Word of God holds Jesus up, elevates him. And when he is elevated, he draws all people unto himself. The story is about Jesus from start to finish. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper today. We welcome you to the program as well. If you would like to call and ask a question, talk about a troubling issue in your life, or just to make some comments, we would love to hear from you today. The number is 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. Well, let's go to our phone lines now. We're going to start in Long Island, New York, with Gina listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gina.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
Good. My comment was regarding the discussion yesterday regarding Jesus having siblings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the book of Luke, it clearly states that in the Christmas account that she brought forth her firstborn son. Now, no one who has an only child would introduce them as their firstborn.
Correct.
So the Bible is very clear, like, if you know anybody who has, you know, one child, you wouldn't say, this is my firstborn.
Yeah, you'd just say it's the only. But Gina, I think that's a great insight. And as well, we looked at a passage yesterday in Matthew 15 where it actually lists out Jesus' brothers and then mentions that he has sisters. So the Bible is very clear on this.
But having been raised a Catholic, I know that argument where they use that term brethren or brother.
Yes, yes.
You know, but if you go to that passage in Luke, it's clear that it was her firstborn, not her only.
Very clear. Well, Gina, thanks for that great comment. We sure appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Well, that opens up a line at 1-844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. So if you have a question or a concern that you would like to talk with us about, call right now. We're going to point you into the Word of God. That's another issue that Mary raises.
Yes.
is what's our authority? Who do we go to? Where do we turn for truth? And let that truth stand. Well, the Catholic Church holds out the Word of God as one authority, but they also hold out the oral traditions of the Church. So they put those on par with one another. So they're equal. But that's not really true, because if what the Church says contradicts what the Word of God has to say, then they're going to go with what the Church has said. That becomes the ultimate authority in guiding them and helping them make decisions. As an example, I read something off the Catholic website, catholic.com. You can go there, and they have all kinds of answers to Catholic issues and a lot about Mary. And this is what it says. It says, the Catholic Church was commissioned by Christ to teach all nations and to teach them infallibly, guided as he promised by the Holy Spirit until the end of the world. The mere fact that the Church teaches that something is definitely true is a guarantee that it is true. So they are taking authority upon themselves. Well, I don't know that the Word of God gives us such authority.
No.
I think our authority is contained in the Word of God. And so if the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us, he is going to hold up the Word of God as our standard for truth. So if we need understanding, if we need guidance, if we need wisdom, the Holy Spirit is going to take the things of the Lord Jesus that are contained in the Word of God and reveal the meaning to them. So our authority is the Word of God. That was the great debate in the Protestant Reformation.
Yes.
Is it the authority of the Church or is it sola scriptura? That was the big argument. And I think we need to fall on the side of the Bible alone as our standard for truth. That's the only way that we're going to be able to discern truth from error. If we put authority elsewhere, then that can go all over the place. And it's not like the Catholic Church hasn't changed doctrines over the years. Well, why did they do that? Well, because they thought it needed to be changed. For the most part, they have stuck with the basic fundamentals from the very beginning. But the reason Mary gets into play is because this is what the Church has said about Mary. They don't find that in the Word of God. They take a couple of scriptures, a couple of obscure scriptures. For example, most of the doctrine about the Immaculate Conception is based on Luke 1:28, simply a statement that the angel said to Mary, calling her a highly favored, or the favored one. That's the passage that they use to talk about the Immaculate Conception, that she was brought into this world without the stain of sin and remained in that state of grace for her entire life, even to the point that upon her death, or even if she died, she was assumed into heaven. They call that the Assumption,
like Enoch
or something like that. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that, but the Church has made a statement. And based on that quote that I just read, if the Church teaches something is definitely true, then that's a guarantee that it's true. No, it's not. But those are the big issues. Where do we go for truth? And I think from the Protestant Reformation and what we hold to be true here at Basic Gospel is that the Word of God is our standard for truth. So when people ask us questions, that's where we're going to go. Do we bring biases into our interpretation of the Word of God? Yes. Well, of course we do. We're human beings. Every human being has biases. But hopefully the Word of God can cut through those biases and raise truth, elevate truth, so that we can see it for what it is and that we can have an objective viewpoint to that. So that's what we do here at Basic Gospel. We point people into the Word of truth.
I can tell you on my own personal experience, back when I was a youth, even though I wasn't raised in the Catholic denomination or religion, I trusted my church to be the final arbiter of truth and justice
in
scriptural things. And then I discovered some things that didn't quite hold up, and so I rejected those teachings, and what I did was substitute my own understanding. Well, if the organization is wrong, and I'll never trust an organization, then I must be right. I must figure this out. And all I did was chase my tail. I was going around in circles. Finally, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, just read the Bible and let me reveal it to you, I would say to him, but some of it's confusing. He said, so? Trust me. Walk by faith, right? By grace, through faith, and things begin to be made clearer. We have to give up control in order to understand spiritual things, and it's counterintuitive for us as humans. But as soon as you do, things will clarify.
That's exactly right, and that's what Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians.
Yeah.
We don't understand. We don't have eyes to see, ears to hear. None of that. It has to be revealed to us by the Spirit. Well, what is the Spirit going to reveal to us? The person and work of Jesus Christ. That's what this story is all about. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 1-844-322-2742, 844-322-2742 is the number that you can call and be a part of today's broadcast. We're going to go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk to our good friend Miles. Hi, Miles.
Good afternoon, everyone. Fascinating conversation, and always thankful for Frank and the deliberation that he provokes in me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I was thinking of is how the Bible, for me, reflects our human situation. And it occurs to me that the entire universe and earth has been created for relationship. And the ultimate is holy matrimony. And I was wondering if you would see any parallel, like I do, that when a husband and a wife marry in holy matrimony, they become one flesh. And then when they're with child, you could say it's symbolic of the Trinity, in that three now exist, but as one flesh in a sense. The other thing I'd like to add to the conversation is with respect to Mary, is it in the Bible that she was in holy matrimony with Joseph? And I'm wondering, why do the Catholic Church feel that it's necessary to diminish that she was in a relationship, a fully human relationship, in holy matrimony, and valuing that relationship, and that it was fully consummated with other children?
Miles, great questions.
Yeah,
certainly appreciate you bringing those to the table today. As far as your illustration about relationship, we certainly see that marriage itself is a reflection of Christ's relationship to the church. That's the mystery. That's the mystery of marriage, that great passage in Ephesians 5 where Paul talks about, you know, wives being submissive to their husbands, husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And he goes on to talk about in detail a little bit of what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then he says, but I'm talking about a mystery. I'm talking about Christ in the church. So a person's relationship to their mate within the Christian context really is a reflection of Christ and his church and the body, his bride. Now, as far as a child in there, I don't necessarily see anything in scripture that would would identify that as representing the Trinity at all. But you know, that's, you know, good thoughts on your part. You know, I always look at things like that and say, well, you know, I could talk about that, I could speculate about that, but it's not really in the Word of God. So I don't want to go outside of the Word of God. I just want to stick with what the Word of God has to say. As far as why the Catholics don't embrace the fact that Mary and Joseph had children in the natural way, and that these people listed in Matthew 15 were actual half brothers and sisters of the Lord, is because they hold to this Immaculate Conception theology or doctrine, and that's something that the church has promoted for hundreds of years. And as I said, as I read from that page on the Catholic website, the mere fact that the church teaches that something is definitely true is a guarantee that it is true. So they are relying upon the authority of the church as far as their beliefs and doctrines concerning Mary. So the church has said that she was conceived immaculately, that she was without stain of sin, and that she maintained that position of sanctified grace from the beginning of her life to the end of her life. So therefore, she could not have had sex with Joseph. That's their conclusion. Why do they believe that? Because that's what the church says. And they believe the church, the oral traditions of the church, the teachings of the church, have equal importance or equal authority as the Word of God does.
Yes, and unfortunately for me, it conflicts with my belief that the Bible is all about Jesus and Jesus only.
You're exactly
yes.
right.
That's, you have to make a choice.
That is the point, and that's why this is such an important discussion, because it really raises that. Where do we go for truth? Is it the Word of God alone, or are there other extra-biblical sources that we can rely upon for truth? And I think when we get into extra-biblical sources, that's when we're going to get into trouble. There's lots of extra-biblical sources. There are lots of religious thought out there that depend on other sources other than the Bible for their guidance, for their rule of life, so to speak. Mormonism is one of those, and the Catholic Church, and I'm not putting those on equal par at all. I'm just saying the Catholic Church holds the oral traditions as equal to the Word of God.
Well, at the end of the day, I also am fascinated to realize that the word Homo sapien, it means one who thinks, and that's what we're getting today with this conversation. So thanks very much for the show, guys.
You're welcome, Miles. Yeah, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go down to Corpus Christi and talk with May, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, May.
Hi there. Hi. How are you, brothers?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
It's nice talking to you. This is my first time that I'm calling. I have been listening to this program for many, many years, and I was listening yesterday to the man, you know, that was saying things about Mary.
Yes.
And I started, you know, reading my Bible, and I got to the verse where it says that Joseph didn't know Mary until after the child was born.
Pretty clear, isn't it?
Pretty clear. That's right. And they also have Mary as an advocate and queen.
Yes, they do.
And yes.
Yeah, you're exactly right, May. The Catholic Church has a whole series of doctrines around Mary, and mm-hmm. they're not really based in what the Word of God has to say. They're based on the traditions and teachings of the church.
Right.
So they have to look at this, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. They have to come up with some other definition
yeah.
or understanding of what the word until means. Uh-huh. And all of those sort of things. But it's very clear that they had union
clear.
One with another, isn't it?
Right. They don't believe it because they don't want to.
I think you're right.
Okay, brothers. That's all I wanted to mention. And thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, May. We appreciate your call today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Let me put you on hold. I'll send you a copy of a book called The Naked Gospel, which is our premium for the month. We're making it available to anyone who gives a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get you information on how to get that. Okay? You hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is our offer this month. It is a wonderful book by our good friend Andrew Farley. This was his first book. It's his story about his life, and it's a fascinating story of how he came to know truth. In our board meeting a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, it was this ministry and this ministry's introduction to me of the new covenant that that saved my life.
Yes.
He was on a path that was burning him out, mm-hmm. and it was burning him out quickly. And he had come to the point where he was at the end of his rope. And when he started learning about the new covenant, everything changed. And he writes about that in this book, The Naked Gospel. He really focuses all attention onto Jesus Christ. And we want you to have it. It's our gift to you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Take advantage of this offer. And in doing so, you're going to help others come to know this Jesus that Andrew speaks about in the book. So it's a win-win situation. You get a great tool to help you in your spiritual journey with Jesus. It could be a tool that you could pass on to others, that you could use in your ministry to other folks. But in giving a gift, you help us continue to get the word out and into the lives of people all around this world. So take advantage of this offer. You can make a contribution today simply by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button, and all the information on how to contribute is right there. We need your help. There's people out there that need your help, and I guarantee you when the gospel message touches their lives and changes them, they will be giving thanks and praise and all of that because you gave to help them here.
Yes.
So take advantage of this great ministry opportunity. Well, we're going to go quickly to Denver, Colorado, and talk with Kenny listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Good afternoon to you. I've called many, many times, and I called one time before about Jesus overturning the money changers. Well, I've also brought to attention when he was a child, and what they told me was he disobeyed his parents and went to the church, the synagogue, and was preaching. When they found him, he said, "Didn't you know where I would be?" Well, wasn't that an outright disobedience of his parents? And that was brought to my attention. I said, well, I'll call and I'll ask about that.
Well, Kenny, that's a good question, and you know, it says that Jesus was without sin, so he certainly would not have disobeyed his parents, would have not dishonored them in any way, shape, or form. He was, when he was at the temple, when he was 12 years old, he was there because his father, God the Father, told him to be there. And that's something that his parents, his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, came to realize, that that's exactly why he was there. He was going about his father's business. So no, he didn't disobey, because the Bible is very clear. He was without sin from beginning to end. And we can count on that. So if there's a passage that looks like he sinned, for example, throughout the New Testament says that he violated the Sabbath. The Pharisees kept pointing to him and saying, you did this on the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. Well, he wasn't violating the fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath holy. He was violating the Pharisees' interpretation of the Sabbath. So we have to have this premise that Jesus was without sin, and we use that as the filter through which we interpret these particular passages. Well, Kenny, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast today. We look forward to another great week of programming next week. Be sure to join us Monday as we bring you another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.